Welcome to the Cheeky Investor Podcast.
You fired already. It's a Rookie Investor
Podcast. The Rookie Investor Podcast. This week, Phil and Gareth debate podcasts and when to get out of the stock market. Come join us for the adventure of your life. By the way, this is Gareth, not Phil. Welcome all. Thank you for joining us to this wonderful, wonderful podcast. This week, we are delving into a very difficult to define, but hugely important part of investing, which is when to get out of the market. We can't obviously tell you exactly when to get out of the market because it depends on so many factors. But what we want to be able to do is give you guys the knowledge, the framework, to figure out when you want to get out of the market. So throughout this, we'll have a general chat. And then I think Phil's going to dive in if he's willing and ready and he's got all his technology set up. He's going to dive in and start to look at a couple of stocks. And we'll basically talk. You won't get this anywhere else in any podcast, by the way. We're going to talk you through our analysis of one or two stocks and whether we'd get out, whether we'd sell or stay. Or buy more, and potentially if Phil's able to, at what point, if we're saying hold on to it now, at what point should you sell? So this is a little bit of theory, a little bit of practice, and it's a little bit of a new way we're going to do it. So we wanted to throw everyone off by getting me to introduce it, and I failed because I forgot the name of the podcast.
You failed terribly.
That's okay. First Listen, three words. No one remembers the podcast, okay? So don't worry about it. No one remembers the intro. No, everyone remembers the intro. That's the only bit they remember.
They switch off after that.
They actually do. That's why we've got loads of like 3 second clicks, 3 second watches.
Because right. 3 second says, master.
That's right. That's it.
Doesn't sound good. No. Anyway,
I did hear that reputation.
It's kind of the untouched subject.
Weirdly, like nobody talks
about
it.
When to buy a stock.
We've told you when to buy.
How to value a company. But no one's like, when do you sell?
Yeah.
How do you sell? What are the rules?
Yeah. So it is a very important topic. And, you know, we don't need to point out the blinking obvious as to why, but stocks are about, you know, to generate income and to generate wealth these days in the stock market. Gone are the days you could just plug your money into a reliable blue chip and every year, you know, you'd get that money, you'd get maybe a dividend, and you get a little dividend and life is good.
A little bit of growth.
There is still that occurring, but that's decreasing and decreasing in terms of your return. And that is
we want 400% in a year.
Absolutely.
We're Bitcoin babies.
That's what we're exactly bloody right. So that's the point. we're the generation that says, fuck all of that. We're not going to wait. Exactly. We're not going to wait 30 years to get a little bit of money out of it. We know we can make money. And that's what Cheeky Investor, that's what our whole scene is about, is saying, you know, you can make money in the stock market. Anybody can make money in the stock market. And you can make very good money, much better than you'd ever make owning a property that you rent out. So a really important part is buying stocks. But an even more important part is when to sell stocks. Because the last thing you want is to buy into something. And then you see the price goes up. Everything's lovely, lovely, lovely. And then the price starts to decline further and further and further and go down. Now, there is a very longer term approach to saying, well, if you stick with it, it might end up leveling out or going up again. But our view is you're much better taking
too
that.
Much mind space. It's played those games before.
It's horrible mentally. It's horrible.
A conversation you have with yourself when you got in, it's doing worse than what you thought, and you just convince yourself. Like, maybe it'll turn around. It can't get much worse. And maybe it'll turn around, and then before you know it, you're down about 40%. And then you still don't sell because you're like, the worst of it's over. And
that's
you just
right.
kind of keep hanging in. Then the opposite's true. When it goes up a little bit, when it goes up like 10%, you're like, oh, better sell now in case it turns around.
Yeah, so it's inverse. Yeah.
People set themselves up for fail, even in just a pure probability equation. You're selling at 10% and letting it go down by 40%. Like, that doesn't add up in a statistical sense.
No, that's
right. Like, to do it statistically, you'd set a perimeter. And this could be part of your investment strategy. You might say, all right, I'm going to buy. I expect this to go up 10%. If it does, I'm selling. But if it goes down 10%, I'm selling. So that way, it's always a 1-to-1 ratio.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Over the long run,
that's simple.
If you do that, you potentially make money if you're picking the right stocks. But a better way to do it might be 20%. You might say, as soon as this stock goes up 20%, I'm out. I don't care if it's hot, if it's going to be the next big thing. I'm just taking the money, leaving, cashing in, and just, you know, don't follow it afterwards. I know you will because you always want to see what happened. But and then the other part being true is get out when it's down by 10%.
Mm.
So that always gives you a 2-to-1 ratio, reward to risk.
Whereas, so say that again. So when the prop, when the price of stock is up 20%, you sell.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is one strategy. It's not the only one. We're going to talk through a couple, but this is just, this is a, I suppose, a really good basic one for people that are just getting into the market. It's not particularly complicated. It makes it as simple as it can be. It's not hugely complex. There are much more complex strategies, and we'll talk about more of the technical analysis. But this is a really good mindset one, because you can literally just write on a bit of paper, anything that goes up 20%, sell. Anything that goes down 10%, sorry, anything goes up 20%, sell. Anything goes down 10%, sell. And all of the apps, we use Stake app, that actually tells you how much of a percentage has gone up and down. So it couldn't be
easier. And it eliminates emotion. Good way to eliminate emotion is add structure and logic to it.
Yeah, definitely.
As soon as you add structure and logic to anything, it just ruins the mood.
Yeah, so that's one option, is just to say a percentage amount, to say, I am going to sell at this point, even though it may well be it's going to shoot through the roof. So what you're doing is you're missing out on the wider swings, but you're also minimizing those wider losses. Because, of course, you know, not all of us are going to pick, what was the name of that vegan meat place?
Oh, Beyond Meat.
And, you know, not all of us are going to be able to pick Beyond Meat and sell at the right time. Not all of us are going to get Bitcoin for a dollar and it goes up to 10,000. You know, the reality is most people will have a mixed bag. Actually, it's not reality. It's stats show that in financial advisors who are paid and study investing, the majority of those don't actually end up making more money than the market makes, you know, if you'd invested in an exchange traded fund in a market, and you'll do better. So for us, that way is a really awesome way for beginners to get into the markets. It's actually what I do in terms of how I look at buying and selling. I use a percentage because I just find that really easy to be able to manage. Now, the question I have with that though, Phil, is,
yes,
this is for me as much as anybody else out there, what's the time period that you would normally operate in for that? Or is it just based on if it hits that 20%? If it hits 20% in a day, I suppose it doesn't matter. You know, like, is there a time where you say, I'll wait a week so that I maximize my gains? Or is it literally just that one time, if it hits up to that point, that's it, you're out?
Well, yeah, the short term makes it easy. If it hits 20% in 6 months, you'd get out. But, I mean, the parameter that you set for yourself in annual returns. So in the masterclass, we teach people 15% return per year. So, you know, if it's after 12 months and it hasn't hit that 15%, you'd reassess the situation. You'd look at it as though it's completely brand new investment, and you'll say, will this go up by 15% in the next 12 months? Because if it doesn't, it may be time to offload and take that maybe small percentage gain, because, you know, you might have done the research, you might have done the execution well, but it's just come down to market forces that, you know, hasn't brought that stock to fruition. So, we generally work on an annual time frame of 15% per year.
Yep.
So you'd let it slide for that period of year. But again, if it's short term and it goes up 20% in 6 months, get out, move on. You're not going to be sacked for taking a 20% gain in a stock.
No, that's right. Absolutely. And all of this, I would highly recommend going through the masterclass, because what our masterclass teaches, and we'll give you some details at the end of this podcast. We're plugging our product here, let's be honest, but there's a reason for it. It's because it's so well designed and set up for people like you who are out learning in the market, and you don't know exactly which strategy you're going to go for. You're not looking for the hyper-technical stuff straight in. You're actually looking for a little bit of a lead in, but then also to be able to have the choice to go down the route of getting some technical analysis. And that's what the masterclass comes
all about. Well, it's funny you mentioned that we bring it up. Some people talk about, you know, how do you have the confidence to sell product when you're doing podcasts, or, you know, you sell too much product. And the reason we can do that is because we know when we bring people into our ecosystem of products that they're much better off than they were elsewhere. Like, we've got one guy whose portfolio is doing 35%. Yeah. There's no market out there doing 35% this year.
No.
And he's outdoing me, which is, you know, kind of a goal when you're teaching someone. You know, he implemented what he did in the masterclass, and he's doing 35%. So the reason we promote this stuff is because we know once people come into our ecosystem and world-class education, that the results are going to be, you know, are going to be there. We do the high-level education for the podcast, which gives us mass reach. And if you go away and get value from that and implement it, that's sweet. But, you know, the masterclass, if you're serious, that's why we're pumping it out.
And that's a good point, is if you're serious, you have to learn in a serious way. You know, I wouldn't recommend listening to the podcast only and then going out. I mean, you can do that, but I actually think you'll lose out on so much opportunity that's out there. And you'll also probably not be able to minimize your losses in the way you can if you go through proper training. But so, yeah, so just to get back on topic then, yeah, certainly the training's worthwhile. But, yeah, that strategy is a very simple, nice strategy. You go with the percentage. So you decide what percentage that is. Phil obviously talked about the 20% up, 10% down, which is a nice one. You may want to go higher. You might say 30% up, 20% down. Or you might say 30% up, 15% down. There's no absolute strategy, but that 2-to-1 is something that will definitely give you opportunity to get growth. And we've obviously talked about how long that can take to happen as well. The next one for me is, would you look at one where you say, I'm going to get a X amount of dollar return out of a stock, and look at it that way and say, well, if I want to make, I want to get $5,000 by the end of the year. I've got 10 stocks. So each one of those stocks, I want it to make me $500. Is that a way you'd look at it, or does that end up getting too complex?
It'd be too complex and not a true reflection. You try and keep it all to percentage base. So you'd want to say, you know, if my starting point's $1,000 and I want to get to $5,000 by the end of the year, then you work out what the percentage difference of that. You say, okay, I've got to 5X my return in 12 months.
Yep.
And then you want to find companies that are going to be able to set you up in that position. And I mean, if you're doing that equation, that quick turnaround, you're probably going to have to be prepared to risk the whole $1,000. Like if you wake up and it's $400 portfolio 3 months later, that's probably the game that you're sort of playing in.
Yeah, okay. So percentages are the better way to look at doing it if you're following that sort of strategy.
Yeah, it just gives a bit more clarity and comparing apples to apples.
Yeah, you're looking sure.
At different stocks, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay, now the other way, which is you can get a little bit more technical, and we can talk about looking at the graphs. So obviously the question is when to get out. You can follow that fixed model, or you can get into a slightly more technical way, which is looking at what the performance of the company is. So what would you be looking at with that sort of stuff, Phil? Would you be looking at, would you get into your graphs and your three touches on your graph, that sort of technical stuff, or where would you normally go with that? Is there kind of a halfway mark, I suppose, that you could take up that would cover that technical stuff without getting too technical?
Yeah, so when you're looking at the charts and from a trading point of view, you'd have a look at some of the indicators that talk about the momentum. Volume's always interesting. Volume can be, you know, if the stock price is still going up over a long period of time, but the trading volume starting to go down, that's usually an indicator that it's about to reverse.
Okay.
That's because the price is going up because the late investors are coming to the market,
Okay. Whilst
all the smart money is starting to get out. So that's why the volume of trades are going down. So if you have a look on a chart, the stock price has gone up, but the number of shares sold in a day is decreasing. A really, really strong indication that that's going to then turn around. And that's more powerful on like a bigger chart. You wouldn't do it necessarily on a day chart.
Mm.
You might pick up a short, small swing. But if you're doing it on a yearly chart or a 2 or 3 year chart and you start to see that, it could be a good sign that there's going to be a turnaround.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're saying take it on a much larger scale. But is that, I always assume the stock market moves in moments, in minutes and hours, as opposed to...
Well, it depends on... we come back and define your strategy first. If we're talking about longer-term investing, I don't know if I'd necessarily use those indicators.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about trading, that's a different... You know, if we're day trading...
Yeah.
Kind of a different situation.
Yeah.
But that indicator works for both.
Yes.
That'd be one of them. Yeah, I mean, the trend touch lines there, again, they're an indicator. They're not sort of an absolute. It might be one piece to the puzzle in terms of what's kind of happening if it Yep. breaks through. Again, does it fit that risk to reward ratio? If it breaks through, then only goes down by 5% and then bounces back up, you know, another 15% after that. That's the type of stuff you'd have to think about. But again, that's more trading when you mention charts. I'd look at... The stuff I tend to look at is, and this is a good habit to get into, is when you buy a stock, you want to write down 3 to 5 reasons as to why you bought that in the first place.
Mm.
So it might be, they've found an untapped market. They have a new CEO who's got a great track record. They're releasing really good product. They have no debt and they have plenty of cash.
Yeah.
So that might be your 5 dot points. And then you might be 3 years down the track. You might have a 60% return. And then you look at that stock and you want to see if those 5 things are true. Maybe the CEO's left. They're taking on more debt and they've bought out another business so the cash is small. So then you'd really have to consider, because those 3 points are now changed from when you first bought it, you have to think of that strategic impact on the company.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to reassess it as though it's new again.
And that's the ongoing interest and fun with investing, is you're continually learning and adapting and thinking and changing because the market does. Yeah, again, back to this point at the very beginning, gone are the days where you just sort of throw your money in. People don't, want that. You just throw your money in and you leave it for 30 years. You're going to be active, You're going to be an active investor. You're going to be in. That doesn't mean trading. It doesn't mean looking at it daily. It might even mean looking at it weekly. It could be you look at it monthly, or as Phil says, you take a sort of a more annual approach. All of that is the fun bit, is where you're continually looking at what's happening with the company. And I suppose then in terms of when to get out, you might also then look at if the company... If there's press releases, if you want to get to that level, I suppose, what's happening with the company? Is there turmoil? Is there problems? Did they have a product that's ended up burning a load of children or something like that? Is it, was it Volkswagen that got done for Dieselgate? I think was it Volkswagen?
Yeah, the whole,
it was all clean. There wasn't all of, so, all of that is happening all the time in businesses. So if you've got your portfolio of, your handful of stocks, you shouldn't just leave them. I don't think that's good advice. You should always be looking to see what's happening, because particularly if you've got any riskier stocks, you might find something in there that's going to suddenly create a huge amount of money for the company and the price jumps up. Or you might find equally something like Dieselgate, which came out of nowhere, smashed the stock price of, I think it was Volkswagen. And suddenly, you're looking at losing a lot more than that, potentially that 10%. So you have to keep on.
It's a good point for those volatile companies. Like, you wouldn't set up Google Alerts for Coca-Cola. Because I can't imagine too much.
There'd be one every like 6 months. Yeah, Coca-Cola has sold more than predicted. Reading. Yeah, that's right.
It's like they're putting cocaine back in Coca-Cola. That's the only stuff that'd be really interesting. And then you'd buy. You'd go crazy.
Original. I've seen a YouTube video of someone making the original Coca-Cola with the cocaine or whatever else in there. Yeah. He said it tasted like shit, but yeah.
I haven't done cocaine, so I don't know about the taste, but.
No, I think it was more like whatever stuff they were using. It wasn't the cocaine film.
I don't know what YouTube videos you watch.
It's over 18 stuff. It's over 18s.
I just watch your stuff.
Actually, that's what I should be advertising, is Cheeky Investor on YouTube.
Not your cocaine, Breaking Bad, the Breaking Bad Investor.
Actually, did you know, here's an interesting thing. Breaking Bad has had such an impact on our cultural psyche that... meth dealers started to dye their meth blue, because meth is white. Crystal meth is like, it forms as white. Not in the, you've seen Breaking Bad, have you?
I have not.
Ah, okay. So Breaking Bad,
don't judge me, guys. I've got to study these charts. No, give you information.
You don't want Phil watching stuff like that, because he needs to be locked back in his cave and
just putting out content. Film another video, Phil.
Do it, Phil. I want to watch Breaking Bad. No, Phil.
Oh, can I have some food, Garrett? Please. More
videos.
When
you finish this video. So with Breaking Bad, they use the meth is colored blue that he makes, and it became so iconic that they actually drug dealers started to dye it, because people said, oh, we want that blue shit, that, you know what I mean? It's incredible how something can influence that. But anyway, so looking at a company continually is something to look at. What I wanted to ask Phil before we get on to just looking at analysis, and we're at sort of just 20 minutes, so we might just maybe do one company, but we'll see. Just quickly, annual financial statements.
Yes.
What sort of an impact can that have on the decision to buy or sell? More to sell, I should say, sorry.
Yeah, so the stuff you'd want to look at, the ones I'll come back to are just debt and cash.
Okay.
To sum it up, you want to have a look at their debt position. Are they increasing it? Are they decreasing it?
Yeah.
If they are increasing it, why? There's a thing where companies are increasing to debt so they can pay shareholders, which I find interesting.
Mm.
But money's cheap at the moment, so maybe that makes sense from a financial point of view. Mm. Or are you just acquiring debt to then, you know, invest in product development and expansion? Again, money being cheap, why not? Yeah. If you're getting it at 1.5%, 2% wholesale, it could be an option. But you want them to justify why they're doing getting into debt. And then you want to think to yourself, does that justification make sense? Do you agree with that, you know, that they need to fund that with debt? And then, yeah, just having a look at their cash, because cash gives so much opportunity. And it can give potential buyout opportunity as well. Like if you have a look at Apple and their cash position, the number of companies, like big companies, I'm talking like Nike company, that they could buy out if they wanted to, it's huge.
Gives them huge power. Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. So look, very interesting. That's hopefully giving you a taster of what you need to look at when getting out of the market. But also more importantly, we've given you some practical ways that you can actually figure out a calculation, a strategy to get out of the market. So I think, Phil, yeah, if you're up for us, chat about a business. What's the stock?
Give me a stock.
Okay, I'll give you a stock. Let's look at Apple. Apple's a nice, easy one. Let's do Apple.
So creative, Gareth.
Shut up.
All right, just searching.
So we're just looking now. So as I say, this is literally live. This is like live television.
It is.
An animal is going to shit on one of our heads or something like that's going to happen.
All right, so what are we looking at? We are looking at, depends what point of view you take. I mean, valuation point of view. Well, actually, the stock's trading at $214 at the moment. So again, it depends where you got in. If you got in at $150 and it's up 30%,
yep,
maybe you'd shift half your position. How much more growth does it have? It says that a fair value is about 203 on the analysis that I've got. So it's not too different. 214 says fair value is 203. The ones I'd want to go to is growth figures. So expected annual growth is 2.2%, which is bugger all.
Small, yep.
Particularly for Apple.
Yeah, that's very small for Apple.
They've taken on a lot of debt. The debt's increased, but that's, again, they say they'd rather do that than use their cash.
Yeah.
Having said that, I think they have as much debt as they do cash. It's not sort of an issue. Looking at this, and it's about probably $100 billion of each.
Oh, okay.
But debt's covered by operating cash flow.
Sure.
Like well and truly. So they get enough money from their sales to cover debt.
Yeah.
In fact, Apple earns more interest than it pays.
Wow.
There you go. That's literally money from nothing.
That's insane, isn't it? Yeah.
And actually the way you do that, and Apple would be able to take advantage of this, is if you have a look, where would be a good example, low interest rates, probably Australia. Our cash rate at the moment, I think, is 1%.
Yeah.
You might go out and pick up a loan, for example, and let's say it's 3%. So you get a $10 million loan at 3% in Australia,
Work
it over in the US and pick up 6% per year.
Yeah.
Your interest from the US market's covering the debt in the Australian market.
Yeah.
And you're getting money for, like, literally nothing.
Yeah.
It's a real thing called a carry trade.
We must talk about that. That's an interesting one. Yeah, right.
So I'm assuming just reading that information, that's what Apple is.
So Apple. So doing. Where are we at now? So if you'd and this is the thing: if you'd invest $150, you'd say, "Yeah, look, you've got some pretty good, a pretty good return on there. Growth isn't going to look amazing. So you're sort of it's one that you might hold because it's such a big company. But if you're talking about growth, you're probably not going to get a huge amount of growth. So it might be worth investing that in a higher growth stock. I'd be interested in Gillette just out of interest.
Going Gillette.
Because I think Gillette got hammered with the hashtag MeToo movement. The stock price did. But I'm just interested to see if where it's at and what's happening with it.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's another absolute staple.
All right. Who owns Gillette?
Oh, God. Is it...
Is it a bigger company?
Is it Procter & Gamble, maybe? Try Procter & Gamble anyway. I'm not sure, but just try Procter & Gamble. The other one we could do is something like A2 Milk.
Well, but I mean, yeah, going back to Apple, you look at their revenue streams as well. Like, how quickly will their fintech take off.
Mm.
Like that whole Apple Pay and paying with your smartwatch.
I understand, yeah. We've spoken about this before. They're going big into that.
That's
They're
where you really want to look
into
at.
That, yeah. And try A2 Milk if that's not coming up, and we'll see. We'll finish with A2 Milk. But that gives you a sense of just the mindset of if you just how Phil is going through, and it's looking at debt, it's looking at what cash reserves they are. You know Apple's a solid company, so you're not really looking at the management per se, but you are looking at growth, and you're looking at the actual stock price as well. So there's lots to sort of configure and think about in there. What does A2 Milk, what's that coming up as?
A2 Milk, we have a look at the current share price, $13.68. Fair value is about $13.50.
So that's just going on as well. Yep.
Discounted
yep.
cash flow. You know, we have a look at the price to earnings, which is 37, which is pretty big. But again, you want to – the way you justify the price to earnings, and I've said this before, is you compare it to the annual growth. So the annual growth expectation is 14.7%. So yeah. You don't want price to earnings to be any more than twice the growth rate.
So that's a bit over, isn't it?
Yeah. So if the price to earnings now is 37,
oh, yeah, it's a fair
two times over. That yeah. is, you know, 28, what, 29.4.
Yeah.
So it's above that. So it's not looking like it's worth the risk. Like there could be a better opportunity to get in.
Yep.
Having said that, you look at their balance sheet and it's absolutely flawless. There's no debt.
Yeah, okay.
There's no debt and they're probably on... geez, they've got a bit of cash. Is that... I'm going to say that's $600 million
okay.
in cash. $600 million cash, no debt. I mean, that's a lot of opportunity.
A lot of opportunity for growth. I'm assuming they haven't really fully tapped the Chinese market by any stretch.
I don't think they have. I think
so
with this one,
potential opportunity there. Yeah. So you'd hold.
Well, it doesn't look like there's a downside. Like if you held, it doesn't look like
it's not going to go down. Yeah. Yeah.
That you'd lose much.
Yep.
You'd almost hold and see.
Yep. So that's another example. So look, and that's the thing with investing, isn't it, Phil? Like it's not a. There isn't a black and white approach, you know, despite what you'll see these things, people telling you, oh, this is, you know, the dinosaur's back and there's these different graphs that tell you things. It's actually not about that because it's all about human nature and about decision making by humans. So it is about just picking up on all of this information that Phil's giving and all that we cover in the masterclass. It's learning how you actually in your brain work that out and come out with an answer. That's the hard bit. The hard bit, getting the information isn't so hard, but the hard bit is interpreting that properly and being able to then make a decision on that basis. So awesome. Look, I think that probably covers everything we want to talk about on this.
Yeah, that's certainly the process I go through when looking to sell. But yeah. as we alluded to earlier, Masterclass, if you're serious about learning to invest and learning how, particularly how I invest, again, cheekinvestor.com/masterclass signup. Teach you about value investing, how to value a company. We speak about the discounted cash flow analysis, the approach that Warren Buffett takes, talking about the valuation of price to earnings in there as well, how to identify growth companies, you know, what to look for in a growth company, what to look for in an economy in a growth company, day trading's in there, different investment strategies that I've picked up from, you know, Merrill Lynch and Goldman Sachs that they use for their top-end advisors. So if you're at that level, you're looking to be a better investor, that's cheekinvestor.com/masterclass. And then 10-day challenge for the rookie investors. Go from zero to investor in 10 days.
Yep.
10 videos, 10 days, and you'll have so much clarity on how the market works, how you buy and sell stocks, and how to actually make that happen on a broker account.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Thanks for that, Phil. Both links will be in the podcast. Thank you all for listening as always. Make sure to check out our other podcasts, check out what we're doing online. And we'll check you out next time. Thanks for that.